Welcome back to hour number two of the Big E Sports Show at Yahoo Sports Radio. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. And we are continuing with our MLB news and notes with our very own Andy Pondillo. And Andy, let's talk about the team right here in our backyard, and that, of course, is the Houston Astros. They're coming off two day games, of course. The Indians and the Rangers. How did things play out?
Well, it was a fun opening day, that's for sure. The Astros went 2-0 on opening day. You always want to win your opener. It makes everything feel just a little bit better.
So true, yes.
It's one out of 162, but it's definitely the biggest one of the year for teams that aren't possibly going to the postseason play. And we know that's going to be a far stretch for the Astros, so it was good to have that stadium full. It was good to see them come out and win a game versus a tough pitcher like Corey Kluber. You know, that was an example, in my opinion, of the games the Astros have to win this year. You're not necessarily always going to score 5-6 runs. A lot of people always constitute offense to run, score, and it bothers me so much because there are teams that are just going to score more runs than others. Those big, powerful teams, the Red Sox, by default, will probably score the most runs in the American League. Does that make you a very effective offense? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It's more in-depth than that, and what I believe it is how do you handle games versus top fleet pitching? How do you score 2, 3, 4 runs off 3, 4, 5 hits? The Astros able to only score 2 runs in their opener, able to match that with tough pitching from Dallas Keuchel, able to scratch 2 runs with only 3 hits, use small ball, scrape those runs together. Those types of teams that are able to consistently do that are the teams that win World Series championships. The teams that depend on home runs all the time, that depend on these slugfests all the time. It looks good in regular season. It's very hard to win consistently in postseason play versus tough top fleet pitching like that. So it was good for the Astros, a good step to be able to beat Kluber like that. I hope they can do that more through the regular season.
You know, in our season preview on the Houston Astros, I had asked you, where will Gattis play? They acquired him from the Atlanta Braves primarily for his bat. What have you seen so far?
He's been a designated hitter, and he's been off a little bit to start the season, been behind some fastballs, but that's just the type of hitter he's going to be, a power hitter. They're going to have times where they look like they're hitting everything. They're bashing home runs 3, 4, 5 out of nowhere, just bang, 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 bang. And then other times they're going to be strikeout machines. You got to find some in between with that. It doesn't surprise me that he had a lot of strikeouts right off the start of the season. You know, coming to a new team, there's probably some jitters. He grew up in Texas. I'd imagine he's excited to be here. And then, you know, he's playing in Texas in Arlington this weekend, and that's where he grew up in the Dallas area. So I'd imagine there's some more jitters going through him this weekend playing in front of his hometown.
Okay, and also we had touched on the new manager in A.J. Hinch. Did you see anything different that he did in terms of with his lineup and some of the things that he's doing out there?
The biggest thing is he's regularly batting George Springer second right now. They did that a little bit last season. There's a big argument among the sabermetric guys that the best hitter on your lineup should always bat second. And Jeff Luhnow, being a sabermetric guy, he might be adapting this quality and telling A.J. Hinch to do this. I don't know if I'm a fan of it or not. I want to see how it plays out. I'm giving an open mind to it. He's putting speed and speed at the top, batting him just behind Altuve, and then putting Luis Valbuena in the three hole. Kind of an odd third hitter choice, followed by the power, the biggest power hitters of the lineup, and that'll be Gattis and Chris Carter. So it's definitely a different way to construct the lineup, but the way the Astros are constructed, they're built with a lot of depth and power, 1 through 9, and there's really no way you could construct this lineup to make it look awful, but there's no really way you could construct it to make it look great either, because there's still a lot of question marks with these guys if they can be consistent hitters or they're just guys that bop home runs on the occasion.
Well, one of the guys that was a consistent hitter last year, of course, was George Springer. Give us some love on him, because he really kind of was that surprise player that emerged.
Yeah, he had a very awesome stretch run last year. When he first came up, he struggled. Once he started bopping home runs, he looked like he was as good of a power hitter as any in Major League Baseball until he got hurt. This season is going to be the true test, because now the book's out on him. We've seen a lot of guys that have these really awesome first seasons, and once the book's out on them, we don't know what they're going to do. And sometimes they're just as consistent as they were before, and a Mike Trout. And then sometimes, you know, they have that one year and you never see them put up those types of numbers again. So we'll see what he can do. I think that he's going to be the guy for the Astros. I think he needs to be the guy for the Astros. The biggest question the fans have is he just the guy that's going to hit 25, 30 home runs? Or is he the guy that can play the complete game, bat 275, bat 280, get on base at over a 350 clip, steal 20 bases? If he could be that type of guy that could do a little bit of everything, I think the Astros fans are going to love him just as much as they loved maybe a Lance Berkman, a Hunter Pence, those types of guys that came up through the Astros system.
Okay, you talk about depth offensively, but what about depth in terms of with the pitching?
That's the question. You have Dallas Keuchel, Colin McHugh, your top dogs in that starting rotation. You got Asher Wojciechowski, who just made his major league debut. You don't know how long he's going to be up in the big league. Scott Feldman, know what you're going to get out of him. And Roberto Hernandez, I'm kind of scared when he takes the mound. So then you got some other guys. You got Brad Peacock, who's coming back from the disabled list. Brett Oberholzer coming back from the disabled list. Where do these guys factor in? Do they get put immediately in the rotation? Are they back in AAA? So it's going to be interesting how they juggle all of these guys. I think Oberholzer needs to be in the rotation. I think he showed that he deserved his shot. The last two seasons, bouncing up and down, I don't know if he's ever been spectacular, but he's shown that he can be a number four on a major league roster right now. I think he deserves that shot in the rotation. And, you know, it's such a wild card what you're going to get out of Keuchel and McHugh. Keuchel looked absolutely brilliant in opening day. I hope he continues that trend. And then McHugh, he's got as good a stuff as anybody in the major leagues. It's just when you have guys that come out of nowhere, you got to be kind of curious if they can keep that pace up.
We are quickly running out of time. Of course, the Houston Astros last year fourth in the AL West with a 70-92 record. They look to build upon that. I know at the top of our segment in our interview, I was asking about Justin Verlander, and he's on the DL right now with a strained tricep.
Yes, and
that's not good.
You know, people want to get overly dramatic and say, is this the beginning of the end for Justin Verlander? Well, I think the end had already started when he got with Kate Upton. I don't know. I don't like to spread these rumors or whatnot, but he just hasn't been the same pitcher since Kate came around. Oh. And I don't know what she does to the velocity on his fastball, but it just isn't the same. He doesn't have the same life. I've said this for a while on Justin. There's pitchers that they come up and they just blow people away. They can throw 98. They look unhittable. They pitch a little bit, but they're just good at spotting a fastball, and they blow people away with it. And then suddenly their fastball drops to 92, and all of a sudden it's hittable now, and they don't know how to truly pitch and make those adjustments. I don't know if that's fully the case with Verlander, because he knew how to pitch when he was winning Cy Young's in the MVP award, but I think it's a little bit of the case that he hasn't been able to make the adjustment since losing his fastball. Guys like Roger Clemens, Bartolo Colon, probably the staple of that now, that learned how to pitch after their fastball diminished and were able to stay in the league for a long period of time. Verlander is going to have to find a way to make that adjustment, or he's not going to be in the league into his late 30s.
Hey, Andy Pondillo has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Always a pleasure to catch up, Andy.
Always fun.
Much more MLB talk coming your way right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Peter Golenbach will be joining us, the author of Red Sox Nation. You don't want to miss it.